Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you have hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option you select one time for convenience. There is even a subscribe page on the website that tells you not only the many places where, but how you can subscribe. Again, though, there's no cost to do that. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, comment, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners, and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, during this pandemic, when everyone is wondering, what am I supposed to do with all this extra time? They search within themselves and find that they're used to devoting so much time to watching sports or being a part of sports, whether as a coach, player, referee, or fan, or an administrator. We search for something to fill the time, but the emphasis should be on finding something purposeful. More specifically, we should be intentional in our prayer and ask God how He wants us to use the time so as to glorify Him. In Matthew 6:10, Jesus gives us the Our Father, including that we should say, Your will be done. We need to remember that. It's so important that we hear Jesus say it again at the Mount of Olives in Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done. Let us pray that so we may hear the Father's will for us now when there's time away from sports, as well as when the pandemic is over. Moving on now with episode 64. My guest has been an NCAA Division I men's basketball coach for 30 years, including being the head men's basketball coach at Loyola University Chicago since 2011, with his 2018 team going to the Final Four. As a player, he competed on the Creighton University Blue Jays, and in 2017 was named to the Illinois Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame for his accomplishments as a player. He also has been inducted into the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. Plus, he is the author of a new book called All In, Driven by Passion, Energy, and Purpose. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Porter Mosier.
Hey, Bruce, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Looking forward to talking to you. We will, of course, be talking about your book. But Porter, give the audience some background first. Specifically, I noticed that in your book, you thank your parents, and you specifically say that, among other things, they gave you positive belief that you could accomplish anything with faith, energy, and passion. So I'm focused on that first word, faith. I take it that it was a very Catholic household growing up?
I was. I grew up in Naperville, Illinois, and I was born and raised Catholic. Both my parents were Catholic, and, you know, it was a very traditional Catholic upbringing, and I was able to go to Saints Peter and Paul Catholic grade school all the way through. Then I went to Bennett Academy Catholic High School, but it was, I had two very, very positive parents, but they were different parents. My dad was a businessman, a CEO of Moser Lumber and Moser Enterprises. And my mom, she didn't come from much wealth, and she was just such a positive energy person and just really didn't force faith down my throat, but just positively showed me the just how powerful and blessed we are of everything we have, but showed me how much that is a core part of who you are. And I think that's, I just appreciate that so much now that faith has been such a big part of my journey, that I look back on some friends or in that generation where it was just forced so much on them that they turned away from it. Mm-hmm. And my mom was such a positive influence that she did it in such a positive way that it just became something that I understood, and it was such a big part of who I became. And I'm so grateful to my parents for giving me that upbringing in that positive environment.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I mentioned in the intro that for college, you attended Creighton University, which, for those in the audience that don't know, is a Jesuit school. Porter, how much did it help you to stay grounded and keep you close to your faith, attending a faith-based university, especially when you were also playing basketball?
Well, it was huge because, I like you said, Creighton's Jesuit, and it was smaller in size. It was 6,000-7,000, but what it really... What really made it was one of my defining moments of my life, and that's kind of how my book starts, is the defining moment of my life is growing up, I was a very good athlete. I was the star player on almost every team that I was on, and I got to college and I wasn't. And I thought, I started to doubt myself. I started to think that my likability was based on being an athlete. Mm-hmm. I thought that, that I had no purpose because I wasn't getting playing time. I wasn't contributing on the basketball team, and I was looked at. So I remember finding the sanctuary of St. John's Church right there on the campus of Creighton. And it was just like 50 yards outside the door of my dorm room, Swanson Hall. And I'd walk over there and be by myself and just think and pray and just get my thoughts together and just ask for strength. And, I just remember having that private, silent sanctuary to go to at St. John's Church. And sometimes you don't need a church. Sometimes I do it now. You're just finding a quiet place, a sanctuary to think.
Yeah.
And it was a defining moment of my life because I was so close to quitting, and I was so close to saying I'm going to transfer, and I didn't. I persevered through it with the strength, and the results didn't come quick. It wasn't like when I made that decision not to quit or when I made that decision to persevere, all the results came quick.
Sure.
And I think that's a big part of perseverance. I think it's a big part of faith because sometimes we want those quick results.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big lesson. That was a big lesson from that time because it wasn't like it was right then that everything turned. It was almost to the following year in January where all of a sudden I got an opportunity to play. And through that, my life changed going through, and I look back in that moment of my faith, of asking for strength, of finding that God had a plan, just so many things. And everything that's happened in my life, negative or positive, I look back on that and how I can apply it.
Wow. Yeah, that's wonderful testimony. And I love that you said, because I think what happens is we go into church and we pray and then we walk outside and wait and say, okay, so where is that ask? Where are you, God, with delivering what I just came out of your house and asked you for? And of course, we know it's on his time. And in your case, it's, see me next January, Porter, stay faithful. And next January, I'll reveal to you.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing that. You've been at Loyola since 2011, but you've got quite a resume as it relates to a lot of different stops along the way with various coaching roles. I wonder, at what point did you shift from being focused on X's and O's and how to run a team to actually being influenced as a man by one or more of the coaches that you worked with along the way?
What a great question. I was blessed. My first mentor outside of my parents became my college coach, Tony Baroni. And he was a Catholic kid from Chicago as well. He played at Duke, but he was my college coach at Creighton. And I went on to work for him at Texas A&M. And I look back on what would have happened if I quit. And then I ended up going to work for him, persevering through that. But he was a big role model for me in the coaching profession. And then I became a head coach at a very young age. I was the second youngest Division I head coach in the country at age 31.
Wow.
At University of Arkansas, Little Rock. And sometimes, and what I've learned now, I'm 51 now, and what I've learned in 30 years of Division I coaching, as I look back on that, when I was a young coach, I was so much about, and a lot of people are, whether they're in coaching or in business, you're so much about the trajectory. You're what's my next step? You take a step, and then what's my next step? And you're so much about the trajectory instead of the journey and the relationships, whether it's your relationships with friends, family, spouse, kids, your relationship with God. And I had a lot of success, and then I went to Illinois State University, and I was turning around the program, and I got fired. And it was the most devastating thing that happened to me in my professional career. And I talk about this in my book because I related it so much to my defining moment at Creighton. And okay. I felt I had bitterness in my heart.
Sure.
I felt I was wronged. I signed a 7-year deal to turn around a last place program. And in year four, I had finally got my players in there. We had won 17 games. We had all underclassmen. Next year, we picked one. And I had my third athletic director, my third boss, in 4 years. And he came in and fired me and hired one of his own guys.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I remember that point where I was doubting a lot of things. I was, you know, just so, I don't know where, I was looking at it, and I just kept on praying for strength. And I remember I just kept on saying over and over and over, God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to be an assistant coach at St. Louis University, another Jesuit school. And I went, and I'm not just saying I have to be at a Jesuit school or a Catholic school, but it just was ironic that I went from Creighton, and the next Catholic stop I went to, a Jesuit stop, was St. Louis. And I really, I worked for a legend, but I also was in an environment again where my faith grew and grew and grew, and I was strengthened. And the adversity, I felt God's power. I felt it more that God had a plan. Something good was going to come out. I was going to find a blessing in all this.
But despite everything that you're describing, I still wonder, though, because there were so many stops along the way from job to job, school to school, city to city, was it difficult to attend Mass regularly? As faithful as it sounded like you were, I'm also kind of cutting you a break and saying, when you're moving around that much and you're adjusting to, like you said, three different new bosses or a new different coach or a new different city, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to say, yeah, I'll find a church eventually. So were you able to keep up and go to Mass regularly, or is it, okay, Bruce, you got me on that one?
No, I would think it's not the moves that got me. Sometimes it was my job. I was traveling so much. Like, I was in Little Rock for 5 years, and then I was in Bloomington for four, and that's kind of like the average stop that you have. And I found a great community at Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington. I found a great community there to where. So it wasn't as much moving got me to good not stop. It was sometimes I'd be traveling, recruiting, and playing games, and you're traveling, and you're out of town, and then I'm out of town,
gotcha.
And it's hard to go to church.
Gotcha.
That would be more of that.
Okay.
But back to my other thing, when I worked in St. Louis, and then I got the job at Loyola, and I just felt the power of that I had a purpose, that my purpose was to be at Loyola, and my purpose was, and I shifted towards the trajectory of, you know, it's about the relationships. Relationships that I'm developing with my family, with my players, with the community, with God. And the thing that I tell people, and it's in my book, the trajectory went even higher than anybody imagined because I was more focused on the relationships than I was the trajectory.
Well, you just mentioned your family in there. I wonder, when you are climbing the coaching ladder the way that you did, how difficult is it during that journey to take a step back from basketball and focus on your personal life and answering God's call to start a family?
It's very difficult, but everything in life, you achieve what you emphasize. I also say this in my book. I just unequivocally, I understand that my role as a husband, a father, and a man of faith is my number one role. And my players know that.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean that I'm not absolutely all in with my players.
Sure.
I love my players. I'm all there. I'm present with them. It's just you achieve what you emphasize. Sometimes it might not be, you know, you got to focus on quality time. You know, when you're home, are you on your phone the whole time when you're around your kids, or are you focused in, locked in? Are you doing some family, you know, quality time? Are you, you know, I have a routine. I work out early in the morning. Then I kind of have breakfast with my kids before they go to school. Then I'm off, you know, and I prioritized quality time.
Nice.
And I've had friends in my profession. And I know there's a lot of the professions like mine where you're on the go so much that have lost their spouse, lost the relationship with their kids, but you achieve what you emphasize. If you emphasize that relationship, that's a priority, same thing with your faith, you achieve what you emphasize. If you're not going to emphasize it, it's going to keep going down on the pecking order. It's going to keep going down and down and down.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And listeners, Porter has had the distinction of having Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt at an arm's length as he has coached Loyola. She's the 100-year-old nun who gained national attention when the team went to the Final Four in 2018. She actually wrote the foreword in Porter's new book. But before I ask him about her, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish securely online. And for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me through the contact page on the website, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Anyhow, if you are okay with doing it online, look for the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Pray about it and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel moved to support. I would truly appreciate that. On episodes 53 through 60, I gave out examples of many expenses that your donation helps me with. You can go back and listen to those to hear the various costs that I was citing. Anyhow, no contribution is too big. No contribution is too small. It all helps with the various expenses related to running Catholic Sports Radio. Porter, in the foreword in your book, Sister Jean wrote that, quote, "His faith in God and his religious experience are evidenced in his personal life with his family as well as his team," end quote. As wonderful as it is to win basketball games and championships, I've got to believe that to hear someone say those kind of things about you is just as rewarding, if not maybe even more.
Absolutely. You know, I heard a cool analogy when I was younger, growing up with Catholic faith, and it's always stuck with me. Is God's a lantern inside you, and are you going to let his lantern shine through you and have other people see his brightness through you? And or are you putting a shade over that lantern to where he's not reflecting through you? And I just think that was such a simple analogy to think, like, he's a lantern inside all of us.
Yeah.
And I want my players to see that line. So I want the opportunities that are given me that come my way, you know, I want it to reflect Jesus. I want it to reflect my faith. And, you know, I feel like I'm in this position. And so when she said that, you know, I just remembered that analogy that I live by and I heard when I was younger. And just, it's such a simple thing to think about. Hey, he's a lantern inside you. Are you putting a tarp over that? Are people seeing his lantern, his light shine through you?
Amen. Amen. In your book, you talk about a quote attributed to St. Ignatius of Loyola. Tell the audience what that quote is and the role that it plays in your life on campus.
You know, St. Ignatius, if you know the story, obviously a lot of Catholic people do, but he was about education on everything. But it talks about go forth and set the world on fire. And obviously he doesn't mean it literally, but he means spreading that light, spreading that passion, spreading that igniting Jesus's belief and power and his light. And I love that, going forth and just, you know, having an impact, having a person, a purpose, having a passion. I just think there's so many ways you can take that statement. I also love what the Jesuits' mantra is, men and women for others. You know, having a Jesuit education at Creighton, I've been at St. Louis and now Loyola for 9 years. I just seen it in place when you put others first, on how God finds it to come back to you. And even when he doesn't, but just go forth and set the world on fire with St. Ignatius, and then the Jesuit mantra of men and women for others.
Well, what I love about that quote from St. Ignatius of Loyola is I want the audience to understand, because as much as I talk all the time, that this show is intended to show you that you can have an intersection of your faith life and sports life. They don't have to be kept apart. So in his book, I was reading that Porter was writing in his book that there's a sign that he passes by every day on campus that he's reminded of that quote. But furthermore, he actually at sometimes will say it during a timeout in a game to his players. So Porter, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you know, I loved reading that in your book because that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say the intersection of your faith life and sports life. You don't have to pray in the locker room and say, okay, Jesus will be here when we come back in at the end of the game. No, he's there with you out on the court and on the sideline.
Oh, no question. No question. And, you know, we've talked about that with our team. I know Sister Jean's talked about it. Like, she actually, like, we pray within our team, and then we come off, as right before they come on the court, she blesses their hands. Mm. she's phenomenal with everything. But, yeah, absolutely, they can intersect. They don't have to be separate.
So the New Testament tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says, "In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And Porter, inspired by your time under Rick Majerus, you have a whole chapter in your book about the importance of showing gratitude.
Absolutely. You know, I got a quote that I love, and it's something that I've got it in my office on the wall. I text it in my kids' group chat on the first day of school, and I believe it in every bone of my body. And it's how you think is how you feel. How you feel is how you act, and how you act defines you. Mm. And it starts in how you think. And I just think your mindset of gratitude is, I mean, it's hard to be. John Gordon says this, the author of The Energy Bus and so many other great books. He has a podcast of Positive University, and John is a very faithful man. He's a friend of mine, but he talks about it's almost impossible to feel gratitude and like evil at the same time. And he talks about just the endorphins of feeling gratitude. And I look at what I'll share with everyone a story, what happened to me I just think you have to, during the time where we're here, you know, during this pandemic, is to be grateful. There's so many worse things that can happen. I'm feeling blessed. My mindset is that I'm grateful. I found a blessing in this. I have four teenage kids. Ages between 13 and 18. The last 4 or 5 years of my life, they've been running out the door, this sport, that sport. My daughter's in college, this friend, that friend. And it just, for everyone, people can relate that have teenagers. All of a sudden, now I'm having 2-3 meals a day with my kids. Mm. I'm playing games. I'm taking the opportunity to build stronger relationships, self-improve, finding blessings and being grateful. There's people out there that have lost their jobs. There are people that are ready to retire and lost their portfolios. There's people out there that have had close people sick and die. Why are we, you know, to feel gratitude? I just think, you know, every day I started a gratitude journal years ago where I wake up and I just write 3 simple things. It could be, it could be the most simple thing, like, you know, of anything. And I just think gratitude gets your mindset on how you think so much, and how you think is how you feel, and how you feel is how you act.
Wow. Well, I wonder, during this pandemic, are you in touch with student athletes, meaning in a way that you can still mentor them with life lessons, since you can't, you know, be together as a team working on drills and conditioning and basketball?
Yes. So we have Zoom team meetings. We've had, we're doing that right now, and we've had some things, and we're kind of combining it with some different things. And like, we're asking a couple profound questions, you know, a couple of them are sports related. And then this week's was, name one life lesson that you've learned from our coaching staff that you'll take with you the rest of your life.
Wow.
So we're doing things. We're doing things to stay connected with them. We've given them accountability partners to where that, you know, every week we're changing it. So that they build relationships stronger with 3 other guys, you know, groups of 3. And, you know, thank goodness for technology. Technology has really enhanced this situation.
And how?
I'll say this too. And there might be a lot of listeners that you know, my wife has military in her family, and I do too. And you know, I heard Matt Damon, the actor, who was in a movie Contagion, have a public announcement, and he said something that made my wife and I reflect. He said, generations before us were asked to do a lot worse. Mm. And my wife and I looked at each other and were like, we started thinking of the military going, hey, absolutely. Our generations, our, you know, grandfathers, whoever age, they've been asked to go to war, enlist. You're going to go get drafted. Go look. Guess what? You're going to war. We're asked to stay in our house, to stay 6 feet apart from each other. It's nothing to what our ancestors were asked to do.
And how?
And that really puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
That's a blessing,
yeah.
That we're looking at. Yes, this is tough, but wow, look what they were asked to do.
Yeah.
They were asked to get on that front line.
Great point. Yeah, they're asked to go into danger, and we're asked to remain where it's safe.
Exactly. That's a perspective.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but before I let you go, just share quickly with the audience about Porter Mosier as a member of your parish community, meaning obviously, pre-coronavirus lockdown, meaning where do you attend Mass, maybe any ministries you might be involved with there, or retreats you've done, or pilgrimages, that type of thing?
Well, I'm a member of St. Francis Church, who just combined with St. Joseph. It's St. Francis, St. Joseph here in Wilmette, Illinois, and very blessed to be a part of a great community there. And then, like so many other people, I sit on Sunday and do virtual masses with my family, because there's no masses right now. There's different ministries through Athletes. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a great organization. And there's things on our campus being a part of it. And but very, very proud of, remember, we got a great parish here in Wilmette, St. Francis, St. Joseph here in Wilmette.
Wonderful, wonderful. Porter, great talking to you. Congratulations on the book. Best of luck with it. God bless you and your family in this pandemic time and always, and God bless you and the Loyola team.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
My pleasure. And listeners, as a nod to Porter Mosier being a coach, we will conclude this episode with a coach's prayer, and let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, guide me as I try to coach my team to build each player's character and boost their self-esteem. May I keep an even temper and remember it's a game. Let me not have favorite players, but treat them all the same. Grant me patient wisdom as I praise them or correct, remembering that I must work to earn each one's respect. Lord, whether we may win or lose, may all who are watching see the kind of coach at every game that you would have me be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. We'll be right back.